I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. The moon Titan, the mysterious, strangely Earth-like moon of Titan. This is in orbit around Saturn. We've studied it extremely these last years thanks to the Cassini spacecraft. It dropped a probe onto Titan early in its mission. Huygens gave us a glimpse of Titan, and the excitement was it's the world, but with different proportions. It's got methane and all kinds of hydrocarbons flowing as seas, and then it's got water as rock. So it's not upside down, it's very similar, even sister-like, but no flying creatures, no recognizable tadpoles. Then again, Dr. David Livingston. David is Dr. Space of The Space Show. A very good evening to you, David, my colleague and co-host, and this is Hotel Mars, but we're going looking for life as we don't know it on the moon Titan. David, it's okay to look for life on other planets, right, David?
Preferable, yes, certainly.
Yes, the life here is struggling. We are very pleased to welcome a member of Cornell University's faculty. This is David Shalloway. He's the Greater Philadelphia Professor of Biological Sciences at Cornell University. This is the Department of Molecular Biology and Genetics. And the professor, along with his colleagues, have recently published papers that were gained worldwide attention, great excitement, about the possibility of the building material of something that resembles life, not quite like us, but it moves around and it has plans. Prebiotic material, it's called, for the technical aspects of it. Professor Shalloway, a very good evening to you and welcome. I begin with the theory. The theory is that we're looking for life on Titan. However, there is methane and ethane on Titan. There's all kinds of chemistry that suggests that it would be poison to life as we know it on Earth. So what is it that is of great interest that we're looking for, and what is a polyamine? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, what makes this so interesting as we look for the possibility of life elsewhere in the universe, the first assumption often is that it has to be water-based, like our life forms. But we are looking at the question of life without water. And Titan's a great example because everything's reversed. And the water there is all frozen up and not accessible. What you have, as you said, are lakes and seas, but they're made of methane and ethane. And the difference is everything is reversed. If you think about our life, we have water, but our cells are made, have a membrane made of an oily substance, a substance that we say is hydrophobic, that repels water. That duality between water and something that repels water allows us to make structures like cells that are life. Our hypothesis is that you might be able to reverse this in a world where you have methane, which is repelling water, a substance that repels water. You might have a life that's just reversed and backwards. And so, where you use the water-repelling substances in the same way that water is used on Earth, and you use other substances, not water, but things that repel methane, what we would call polar substances, the way oily substances are used on Earth.
David, Dr. Space.
Good evening, Professor. I'm really curious, is Titan so far the only place in the solar system that we know of that is like this, and what happened in its early history to make it like this?
Titan's the only place that's like this. I do have to say, just recently, the same Cassini mission discovered that another moon of Saturn, Enceladus, has underground water that is warm. So that's another possibility for, different forms of life. But that, again, is a situation where it would be life with water if it exists at all. As far as I'm aware, Titan's quite unusual. It's the only a planet in our solar system that has a dense atmosphere, that has surface lakes, although the lakes are methane. So it's quite unusual.
Hydrogen cyanide, I learned from the paper you published with your colleagues, Professor. Hydrogen cyanide is important to find. That's the origin of life question. There is not hydrogen cyanide on Titan that we've determined, but there are the makings, the blocks that create hydrogen cyanide. Is that correct?
Almost. Hydrogen cyanide is found both in the atmosphere of Titan, and it's actually found in interstellar space. And there's many hypotheses thinking that it was a precursor to amino acids that we find on Earth. But on Titan, we find hydrogen cyanide, as you say, an important building block. We find it in the atmosphere. It should be found settling to the surface of Titan, but it's not there. That leads us to think that when it gets to the surface, it's reacted to form larger molecules. And experiments on Earth show that the most likely larger molecule it would form is polyimines. These are long chain molecules, and in some way, you can think of them as analogous to proteins on Earth, which are long chain molecules.
Polyimines, that's what you characterize in the paper as PL, polyimines. We're looking for what happens to polyimines on the surface of Titan. Have I said that correctly? That's what the speculation is about.
Yes, because if you think about life on Earth, most of the molecules of life are long polymers, kind of beads on a chain stuck together. The polyimines have that same structure. They're made differently, but they're also long-chain molecules. And long-chain molecules are the sorts of things that can combine to give you all the interesting structures for a lifelike, for life, or pre-life.
Dr. Space?
Is Titan static in its development and evolution? Is it changing and evolving, or has it been this way since the beginning of time, and it's going to be this way? Could it possibly be changing or morphing into something different?
Yeah, actually, it is changing, and that's another thing very interesting. I think it's the only planet we know about where you have, or if you look at the surface, from the Cassini pictures of the surface, you see erosion, you see lakes, you see mountains with channels. There's rain on Titan, but the rain is not water. The rain is methane. And so they have a hydrological cycle, except it's not a water cycle. It's a methane cycle. So, almost everything you see, the kinds of things you see on Earth, you see on Titan, except instead of water, you have methane. And also, a critical thing is the temperature there is extremely low. It's only a little bit above the temperature of liquid nitrogen. So you have nitrogen in a gaseous phase, but just a little bit lower, it would turn to liquid.
Back to the polyimines on the surface that we've detected on Titan. We need energy, some energy to get this cooking. And you speculate that it is possible that some kinds of sun rays penetrate Titan's clouds. And once it penetrates, what does it do to the polyimine? What is the thinking?
What we think is that the light intensity on Titan is about 1% of that on Earth. But that's not as little as you might think. If you're in a typical meeting room with some lighting in the room, fluorescent ceiling lighting, that's about 1% of daylight. And you can grow, certain houseplants under that kind of light. So there is enough light getting through the atmosphere of Titan that it could be used. Now, we don't think that the polyimine itself, so a key question is, what molecules could absorb this light, absorb the photons, and start using them, you might say, in a very simple way, like the plants on Earth do. We don't think that the polyimines do this, but we think that the polyimines can form structures sort of analogous to cell membranes on Earth that could hold other molecules that we also think form on Titan that could absorb these photons and then start putting them to use in building molecules. That's what we would call prebiosis, the start of a very rudimentary form of self-reproducing structure or life.
This is a great joy to speculate about life not as we know it, but life nonetheless on Titan, which has lots of energy. That's what all that methane is about. It has sunlight, as the professor has just described. And when we come back, what is the speculation about why it would be possible for this to happen with a nitrogen-based life as opposed to water-based is what we are. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. David Shalloway is the Greater Philadelphia Professor of Biological Sciences at Cornell University. I'm John Batchelor. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. David Livingston is here. This is Hotel Mars on the surface of the planet Moon. Large, very friendly planet Moon, Titan, which is in orbit around Saturn. We are with the Greater Philadelphia Professor of Biological Sciences at Cornell University, David Shalloway, the Department of Molecular Biology and Genetics, and we're discussing a recent paper the professor and his colleagues have published, gained great attention, which is thinking aloud with what we know about the chemistry of Titan and how that could conduct the experiment that creates what can be called life. Not life as we know it, but life with lots of nitrogen and without water. And Professor, I want to take you back to that surface, that polyimine that we're looking at so closely. You and your colleagues speculate about possible ways, possibilities of modeling that this would work with a nitrogen-hydrogen groups, something called an oxyanion hole. I like this just because it's astrochemistry and that's all exciting. What is an oxyanion hole and how would it work with this nitrogen-based polyimine?
Well, one of the key things about the molecules in our cells, the proteins, what they do is they catalyze chemical reaction. So one of the key features of life is that it catalyzes chemical reactions to make more molecules that it needs to make more of itself, to reproduce. What we know both from experimental and theoretical studies is these oxyanion holes can act as catalysts, can work towards fostering, increasing the rate of the kind of chemical reactions. So a speculation is that, well, we do know, what we've shown is that the polyimine structures will construct things that have these oxyanion holes. And the speculation is that these could be used for the polyimines to self-reproduce, you might say. For once you have polyimines, they might help make more polyimines out of the hydrogen cyanide feedstock that's present in the atmosphere.
Is that the same as creation?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, they're taking fuel and making more of itself. What else could it be?
Sure, you could call it that. I think technically we would call it metabolic reproduction.
Okay.
There's one of the features of life, of course, is self-reproduction. Our life forms are on Earth. They're highly evolved, so we have DNA and all these structures. But if you think about the very earliest stages of what reproduction would mean at the very earliest stages of life, it would be a kind of chemical system that makes more of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't have DNA, it wouldn't have RNA, but it would be some kind of structure that self-reproduced. We call that metabolic reproduction, and we think that that's certainly possible here.
Dr. Space.
I'd like to look at the future with you for a minute, because you have this great research, these theories, and we're all excited, and we want more information and want theories to be confirmed, and we think about what's next. So are we limited to billion-dollar probes and satellites and missions, or can new telescopes coming online tell us more information, like James Webb? How are we going to continue to explore Titan and get more information?
Well, I'm afraid it is, as far as I'm aware, it is going to take billions. The Cassini-Huygens mission has been, as you know, very successful. I think one of the products of our study is if you want to look for the kind of structures that we've computationally modeled and that we think could exist, we make predictions about what kind of, we call it spectra, that you could pick up from a probe, or else that mass spectrometers, chemical sensors that could be carried on a probe could detect. But I don't think it's going to be possible to do that kind of spectroscopy from Earth. We can look at stars from our Earth-bound or Webb satellites and tell the composition of the stars because they're bright enough. But I think we're going to have to, again, be closer to, again, close to Titan with the correct measuring devices to start seeing if these predictions hold up. My guess, probably in the 2020s is, I think, the best estimate of when there might be a revisit.
Just a detail, Professor, here at the close, we just have a couple of minutes. You're not looking, I believe, at all of Titan. Your speculation is looking at smaller lakes, you call them, at the edges of the sea, like tidal pools on Earth. Is that correct? That's where we would look.
That's right, because just like tidal pools, we speculate the tidal pools, which dry out, which are then where the methane lakes flow in and out, you have the most action there, and you have a concentrating effect as things dry out in the pools and then are repopulated. So rather than the pre-life structures forming out in the middle of the ocean, we think those regions are the most likely.
David Shalloway, Professor David Shalloway, the Greater Philadelphia Professor of Biological Sciences, Cornell University Department of Molecular Biology and Genetics, publishing with his colleagues Martin Rahm, Jonathan Lunine, David Usher. The paper is entitled, excitingly, Polymorphism and Electronic Structure of Polyimines and Its Potential Significance for Prebiotic Chemistry on Titan. What a joy. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.